The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and myself are here, but we're not alone. We're joined by the delightful Dean Thomas, as well as Mike Perry on the phone, and perhaps the welterweight champion as a big surprise, but I won't blow it.
He may finish it here. Oh, he's out.
He can't count.
It is all over.
Knockout.
He got rocked.
UFC and digital media present UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra, powered by digital media. Find your voice. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
And?
Well,
I'm sorry.
We are the host. This ain't the host, Jim.
Oh,
Matt,
oh okay. You're right. Why am I thinking they didn't screw nothing up?
You just walked in. You're a little hyped up. Matt's a little hyped up.
I'm really psyched up. Don't say nothing yet. We didn't introduce you.
We have a guest.
He wants to talk.
We have a guest who we're very happy to have. Well, I walked in and was chatting with Dean Thomas. Is in studio with us.
I was biting.
Hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, yeah.
The fuck is the matter with you?
Yeah, why didn't I get a round of applause?
What the fuck?
I should have had a drum roll and a round of applause.
I wanted to start clapping, but I'm like, why should I start clapping when we have Chris on cue? And then?
Okay, we'll fix it.
All right, then boo, but whatever. All right, listen, it's over.
Well, we have Matt is here, and I'm here, and our guest, Dean Thomas, is here.
And wait a minute. Don't try to say it like that, because when I got here, everybody was so impressed that I was here before you guys, and they were dogging you guys for being late,
and I was here. Well, I'm never late. I was working out. Obviously.
and by everybody, I guess you mean Chris the producer, because who the fuck else are you talking about? The people in the other room that don't even like talk to us? No, I'm only kidding. Brittany's in the other room. She's cool.
But I think we should mention the absolute lack of respect for Matt Serra's beverage choice. This is not good.
If I didn't have to hang out here twice a week, I'd throw this right on the floor.
I think you could.
All I want is a Diet Pepsi. How about a cold beverage? This is, I'll tell you right now.
It's a warm Diet Pepsi.
It feels like there's piss in this can.
I know, that makes me want to drink it.
And it's wild cherry too, to top it off.
Well, I like that. But I was so looking for, I'm like, you know what? I was in Penn Station and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm so thirsty. But I know Chris the producer, like a good dude, always has a nice frosty beverage for me.
He did have a spread out. He had everything
out.
Look at me. He got me good too, man. He had everything laid out on the table.
Coffee. What are you? At Starbucks?
I feel like it, man.
You got coffee? You got like a little cream? Is that a little cream in that cup?
I got a little. Man, I don't normally get this type of treatment where I'm at.
You know
man.
What
this
I get?
Good treatment.
Feel this.
I feel like somebody might have drank the cool one that I had in the fridge.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brittany.
Why don't you put a name on it?
Was it Brittany?
Like M.
John?
MS.
The only two people I know in that room. Bob?
It might be Bob.
It might be Bob. Bob the Booker. Thanks for fucking sipping my Kool-Aid.
Yeah, put an MS on there for Matt Serra.
I will.
Thank you, Jimmy. I like the way Jimmy gets. Jesus, sometimes, for a funny motherfucker, he gets serious, and he gives you that serious
Thank
look
you.
When
well,
he said that.
Well, you know,
Thank
you
Jimmy,
fucking
sticking.
Squeaky wheel Jimmy, gets the grease.
Jimmy Jimmy sticks up for me. Guys, first of all, I'm sorry to keep you guys. It's not my.
You didn't keep us waiting. We were fine.
It was the subway. The subway. I don't control the subway.
Question for you, too.
Yes.
Now we got to ask Dean because he's here.
Oh, man.
Okay. Now, you're very familiar with Tyron Woodley. He's talking about a potential title defense, and he's saying that, Champ Camp just kicked off, but he can't release who it is. But your boy's going to be fighting in July. Huh. So stay tuned.
Yeah, man. Wait a minute. I can't throw him under the bus like this. I promised him I would not say anything about his opponents.
I thought you had breaking news today.
I don't have breaking news, man, but the breaking news is that he's going to be fighting somebody in July.
Okay, let's. Okay, well, you can't.
But through
say
the process of elimination, we could probably.
Let's say this. What language do they speak?
They speak English.
No, they don't speak Portuguese.
I don't know.
They speak English.
They speak English.
Okay.
They speak English.
Okay, so that would eliminate maybe a couple of people.
I think this is gonna be a shitty game because look at him. He's not even. Look at him. He's not giving
black
up.
Guy, black guy, or white guy.
Oh, I can't. I can't. Listen, I can't go that far. Let's just say it's gonna be an exciting fight.
Okay.
You guys are gonna love it.
Oh, wow. Hold on.
Wow. Hold on. What? Because you hold on. I gotta take my headphones off. I want to do cartwheels. The breaking news on Unfiltered.
Hold on now. It's not Stephen Thompson.
No. Yeah, it's not Stephen Thompson.
Not fighting Wonder Boy again. So let's cross him off the list.
Right.
It's not going to be Matt Brown or Leon Edwards because they're 14 and 15, and Mike Perry is not yet. Has he cracked the rankings yet? I don't think he has. Although Mike Perry, Tyron, eventually will be a very good fight. But he better hope Tyron doesn't get a hold of him.
Wait, so
on the ground.
He already has a guy lined up now, he's saying?
Who, Mike Perry?
No,
I'm talking about. Yeah, because I'm looking now, and I'm thinking that what makes total sense.
In the July 8th weekend.
Well, he said he's fighting in July, so that could be any of the five events in July.
Well, what I'm looking at, what makes sense to me when I'm looking at this thing, is the winner of Maya versus
Masvidal. Masvidal, right.
That sounds like it would
But they won't be ready to fight by July. What are we in now?
You don't know, June, July. You never know, man. Like, Matt, would you be ready to fight after 2 months?
What do you mean? 2 months training camp?
Yeah.
Starting from now? Fuck no.
Not you, but I'm saying if you was one of them guys.
It's Robbie Lawler.
Usually.
It's going to be Robbie Lawler.
Yeah, but Robbie Lawler didn't have a fight since he got clean.
He was rumored to be fighting Cowboy.
I heard that rumor. Oh, has it been confirmed or no?
You know, I think Dana said it on ESPN, but it's not.
All right, well, let's just put a cross. Hold on, we'll cross off his name.
Listen, it's time, Jimmy, to get some breaking news on this show.
No Cowboy.
We got to get Dana back on the show. Dean's not bringing in no breaking news.
Listen.
Wait, hold on. I know we're gonna get a picture later on. As far as for the social media, why are you wearing that Hurt Business shirt? Are you got a piece of that or something?
No, I don't have a piece of this. I'm just trying to support my people, Hector Lombard. Hector Lombard are good friends now. He gave me this shirt.
That's nice.
That guy likes me, I think.
Does he really?
He likes stuff. He's always nice to me when I see him.
Yeah, man. Tell him you want some Hurt Business stuff, man. He'll hook you up.
And I hear he's a little bit of a psycho, though. Is that true?
He used to be. He's good now, man. He used to be.
I don't start no rumors.
No. He used to be a little out there, man. Yeah. Like, he would knock people out in the gym.
How's he?
What, really?
Yeah.
What? Are you kidding me?
How's he with the training partners? Tell me.
At one point, he had no more.
I heard. Yeah,
he would just line them up and knock them out.
How about in real life? Would he knock people out in real life, like in clubs?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I went to Australia once, man, and that's where he grew up. And they were just saying his reputation all throughout Australia, working in the clubs, was just knocking people out.
No, but how about once you start a fight? Because there's always that whole, well, you're a professional, you won't hit me. Mike Tyson, people realize, oh no, he will hit me. Like if you know, did he have that reputation? Like if you fuck with him in real life, even though he's a fighter, he will hit you.
Absolutely.
Hector Lombard doesn't play games.
Don't play games. He punched Jay-Z Cavalcante in the face for starting practice late.
Did he really? And that's a lighter weight kid.
Yeah, but he don't care.
He don't care that
Will
guy,
he punch a heavier guy too?
Absolutely.
Oh, he's not a bully.
Oh, he's not a bully.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a bully to the human species.
Okay, but he'll fight a guy bigger than him.
Yeah.
I usually don't get along with guys like that, but that guy's always so nice to me, Hector. He always is very nice.
But that's just like when he feels disrespected. It doesn't matter.
I can relate to that a little bit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's a nice dude, but if he feels like you're disrespecting him, he's going to hit you.
Like me and you at 7-Eleven at 1:30 in the morning in fucking San Diego. Yeah. Jimmy, we were looking for, we have long hours. We put in long hours on
Dana. Of course you do. That's why the quality of the show is so good. Yeah, you work on it.
You mean this show right here?
No, Dana White.
Oh, yes. You're right. Dana White. And we love it. Dana White, look for fight. We have such a good time. We put in 12-hour days. And then we had a really fun one. We're not going to say what we did, but the next one that's going to come out, Sturgis is out now. And that was a blast.
It was. I came in to show off my tattoo, actually.
I don't know if Jimmy ever seen that.
You never seen
about
it?
That. Well, we're gonna get back to that in a second.
We'll
but the next episode when we go to San Diego, I don't know when it's gonna. It's gonna be released soon, I guess. I texted those guys about that. And I didn't hear nothing back. I want to be able to promote it.
I know, man. It's hard to promote when you don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it should be. It should be next month sometime. Or within the next how many weeks? But so we have long hours, and then, it's 1:30 in the morning, and we're hungry. It's usually I'm hungry. So I go, and Dean doesn't care. He wants to hang out. And we felt like we just want to fight because we had a good time on that episode.
Yeah, we did.
And we knew it worked out. It's probably like if you had a good set, Jimmy, and you're like, you're high.
That's true.
You're high.
Absolutely.
Am I too? Do I get too much energy today?
No, I'm just. I'm still. How do you, I'm dying to figure out who the fuck Tyron's
fighting. Oh, okay.
Is it Neil Magny?
Because you look like you're not
Neil Magny.
No, I don't think so.
Neil Magny's fight. I forgot who he is.
He does have a fight lined up.
Who, Neil Magny?
Yes.
Yeah, he has a fight.
Okay, lined up. So is he fighting Carlos Condit?
No, we're getting off. We're getting off our story about getting the fine pizza.
I'm trying to catch him up.
Fuck this. He's not giving a shit. He's not giving a shit. So anyway, well, I'll get. Well, listen, Jimmy, we can attack that all day long, but I think the guy's giving us two things: Jack and shit. And Jack is not in studio. I don't know. It can't all be gems. But
I would have guessed Gunnar Nelson, but he's number nine. He's
fucking Gunnar Nelson, man. I'd watch that.
He's a little too. Yeah,
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, Gunnar Nelson's good. I like Gunnar Nelson. I like
that dude a lot, man. He's very zen-like.
Yeah, he should be a little higher than number nine.
I agree.
His father is a big fan of the show.
Is he really?
He is.
Is he?
100%. We talked about the fucking. Look, Dean's getting all excited. Like, sorry, Dean. UFC Unfiltered. So he's going to listen to this today.
Oh, yeah?
I guarantee.
We think your son should be a little higher ranked.
Yeah, I think he should be a little higher ranked. And if you ever get a chance, listen to the Morning Wood show.
I had to
sneak it in there, Matt.
So me and Dean Thomas are looking for a pizzeria in San Diego at 1:30 in the morning.
I feel very safe with you guys.
Yeah. Well, dude, you wouldn't believe what happens to us in the 7-Eleven, Dean Thomas.
Yeah, I know, right?
So that, go ahead, Dean, you can talk about it.
No, you can tell a story. You better tell a story than me.
No, man, it's me and you. And then there's a drunken idiot. Now, I have patience for drunks because a lot of times guys could be a really good guy.
Yeah.
But then when they drink, they're just a total asshole. This guy was an asshole. And he was
What were you doing?
Well, we went to a pizzeria that the guys that at the hotel, the front desk, they swore it's a 24-hour joint. So we went there and it wasn't. or else I don't know what happened. Do I got something in my lips?
No.
Okay, sorry. The people at home, Jimmy made
I do my wipe lips thing because I ate something, so I wanted to make sure there wasn't on there.
So you did it and I did like a mirror. I do it right
now. Yeah, no, not at all.
But so then we walk into something like, all right, listen, dude, I need pizza. I got to celebrate. You know, it's almost like a crackhead needs like a crack. Like I need it. So I'm like, what did I say? Oh, Dean, I go, I need pizza. I go, I don't give a shit. Let's go get the, it's almost like the episode is Thursday. I go, let's go to 7-Eleven. I'll get some 7-Eleven pizza.
Wow. Yeah, yeah,
brave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what we would you say is brave?
That's brave.
Yeah, that is brave. Yeah,
I get
like that.
And you got some hot dogs.
Yeah, I got hot dogs.
You swore from the show that you'd never eat hot dogs.
I know, man, but it reinvigorated my love for hot dogs watching that episode.
Matt, you made a left on the story. What happened?
Jimmy, it's a. I swear.
I have to know.
I need a GPS in my head.
So there's a guy in you and Dean Thomas.
Yeah.
You guys walk into 7-Eleven. It's late.
Yes.
And there's a drunk guy. Is he a big guy, small guy?
Average guy. I don't know.
Yeah, he was average.
Not a little guy.
But he was with a girl too, right?
Remember the girl? The girl was a mess too. Though.
Yeah, she was a mess. I mean, they were like they had scabs all over. Yeah. Him. Yeah.
Okay.
So the guy was he was arguing with the guy behind
the counter. Okay.
And then we're like, yeah. So we're sitting there, we're waiting for stuff, and then he started talking to us. And he was a little obnoxious, but he was a close talker. No, Dean Thomas?
He was all up in your grill.
What was he saying to you?
So I went to, what was he saying, Dean? He was kind of like saying almost like what the guy's, asking what the guy's problem, like almost wanting us
but
to agree with him.
He wasn't confronting you. He was just going, what's his problem?
Because he was talking shit to the cashier.
Yeah.
So he was like starting with the cashier first. And he was trying to get us to co-sign on the shit that he was talking.
Exactly. So then, but then he was getting too close. So I'm like, oh, you're one of those close talkers, man. Just, you know, take a step back. And that's when he started to almost direct his shit towards me.
No, you wasn't wrong. He was just drunk and aggressive and didn't realize how close he was to people. Like his whole depth perception was like out of it.
So I go to get some drinks or something and Dean's left alone with the guy. And the guy goes, what is the guy start saying to you? He's not saying like, I'm gonna, you want me, should I fuck with him?
Yeah, yeah, he goes, so like Matt leaves, I knew Matt was gonna do something, but I think I like nudge you to, hey man, keep you cool. So then I'm standing there and the guy, and for some reason, like everybody fucks with Matt, but nobody fucks with me.
Did the guy know you were together?
Yeah, he knew we were together. But for some reason, everybody feels like I'm their friend and they don't fuck with me. So he comes up to me and he's like, hey, should I fuck with him? I'm gonna fuck with him. I said, man, don't do that, man. I said, you better not fucking say one thing to that guy. And he starts walking out. And he's still talking shit.
The guy was
kidding
him.
When he said, do you want me to fuck with him?
No, he was dead serious. He was dead serious. Like, hey, man, I'm gonna fuck with him. Should I fuck with him?
Because I didn't bark at the guy. I didn't bark at him, but I did tell him, like, hey, man, you don't invade my little bubble here. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy, I'm not a nose to nose talker. You know what I mean?
I don't like nose to nose talkers. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's like, fuck off. off, and then he was drunk. So, but I have patience with guys like that. So I come over with Dean's dummy, man, don't knock this fool out.
Yeah.
He goes, man, we had such a good day today.
Well, so the thing is, I like seeing a motherfucker get knocked out like the next man. You know, I could have put it on World Star, but for some reason, I just knew that was going to be bad for the show.
Nothing happened. It's. I mean, the story really amounts to nothing.
Yeah. I was hoping the guy took a swing and you put him down.
It shows you. Now, Dean Thomas was with me on more than one occasion on the LA episode when that bum started, almost attacked me. I mean, it's like I have a witness where there's something with me, man. I'm not starting no shit, Jimmy. I'm a husband and a father.
Well, like that has anything to do with it. Not know why people pick on you, because I was there when that bum did it. And that bum, he had a little style too, man. He had a hat on to the side and shit, like Will Smith, the little sleeve and shit.
He might have been something back in the day.
He might have cahoot back in the day.
Yeah, he wanted a scrap.
Yeah. He had, but for some reason, he walked by you. He was like shadow boxing and shit. Like, you want some of this?
The fuck am I doing? I'm not.
What did you say to him?
No, he walked past us, and I was with Rory, and I don't know where Dean was, a little to the side. I don't know where you were, Dean, but I was with Rory, and the guy was talking to himself walking past us. So all I do, I'm not looking at the guy, but I'm keeping an eye. I'm not playing a knockout game or nothing. I'm not getting fucked up. I could tell the guy looked like a whack job. So I was like, kept my eyes on him a little bit when he walked past. So maybe he saw me looking at him. So I'm talking to Rory, and the guy just, all of a sudden, the guy's right up in our space going, I saw it. You got something, motherfucker? You're looking at me, motherfucker? Yeah, or something like that. I don't know. Am I missing anything?
No, but he was really aggressive.
Yeah. So I just I angled my body and I barked back at him a little bit.
What'd you say?
I can't. I'm not going to do it justice.
What did he say?
I don't even know if he knows.
What?
I told him eventually.
Yeah.
But I mean, they capture on camera, because then they picked up the cameras because the cameras weren't on us. We were waiting for Dana to get done with an interview. He was doing an interview for ESPN about the fights that weekend. And so we're waiting out. So they weren't taping us. So then by the time they picked the cameras up, that's when he was still like kind of walked away a little bit, then started walking back. And then you catch me telling him to... there's a safer fight on the next block, buddy. Yeah. Go ahead, get out of here. Don't do yourself a favor. You know? But I cooled off by that. But when they're that close, you got to kind of.
What did you do when he was that close? Did you tell him?
Well, I told him it ain't going to be good for him. But it was more, if I try to do it now, I'll just try to sound like a tough guy.
But you said this ain't going to be good for you?
No, I don't remember. But it was more like he saw, like, dude, you're not going to, this is not, there's an easier target elsewhere. When guys feel like they get something back, they might go, all right, you know what? I'll go smack around somebody that I could smack around, you know? I don't know.
But Matt wasn't having it, man. I think the guy would have fought, but when Matt like kind of said that to him, he was back. He was still talking shit, but he was backing up as he was talking shit.
Because it's really a no-win situation. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to get cold clocked. I'm not going to get I'd rather deal with the court system than fucking have to
get knocked out.
No, I'm not dead, because then that'll be all over. I'll wake up and Dean will be over me going, you got knocked the fuck out.
It's true, man. It's better to deal with the court system than the hospital.
I'm like, where's my buddy Dean Thomas? He's fucking putting on World Star. Like,
I'm like, I had your back, dog, but I was too far filming it.
Oh, man. But we have a freaking ball on the road, Jimmy, much like we have in here.
Absolutely, but here we're just in one little room. At least you guys are free, enjoying yourselves.
I'm sweating.
I know. Well,
am I just out of my mind today?
I'm not hot. I mean, I'm comfortable. Temperature.
Just call
it's
me.
Cold in here, actually.
You fucking pricks.
Are you cold?
I'm all right,
Chris,
but I'm saying...
I'm looking at Chris, the producer. Anybody?
I mean, I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
All right. I'm hyper. I worked out all morning.
Who's
with
Tyron
our good friend,
fighting?
Pete Drago. Pete Drago Sal?
Who do you think he's fighting, Tyron?
You still on that?
Yeah.
That is important news.
I'm dying to know.
What if it's somebody not in the rankings?
No. For a belt?
Like somebody that hasn't fought in a while, maybe? Somebody
he's like trying that? To say like a Nick Diaz character or somebody. What are you... what'd you just do?
What?
Why'd you...
I winked.
No, is it?
No. Listen, I can't say. All I can say is this. Ooh. There are a lot of guys in the race right now.
Not really.
Hold on a second. There is no guarantee that GSP is going to fight at middleweight.
I mean, there is no date on that fight. There is no date on that fight between Bisbing and GSP.
Who says
Nick Diaz
fight?
Ain't got no date. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of factors involved with this.
I want to just...
I think it's GSP.
I want to sing some rap lyrics.
I think it's GSP. it's George Hip here.
That's what you think?
Yep, I think that he's Jimmy's not going to go middleweight. I think he's going to fight welterweight.
Look at that stone-faced motherfucker.
He's not fighting middleweight. Everyone thought he was going to fight middleweight against fucking Michael Bisping. No. He's going to stay at welterweight. Yep.
I don't know about that.
Some video came out this weekend, though, of like GSP looking way bigger than normal. Bisping was making fun of him. So who knows?
Okay, well, that shows you what I know.
Doing his push-ups.
Not GSP.
All I'm saying is like that fight
Floyd
hasn't been
Mayweather.
Hey, listen. Connor is in there too, man. It's a lot of guys that it could be. It could be Connor.
No.
Put down.
No, you don't think so?
I know it's not Connor because Connor wants a $30 or $40 million or $60 million payday from Mayweather. I don't blame him. Like that kind of money he can't make in the UFC. Taking that one fight with Mayweather.
I know, I would do it too. I wouldn't even train for it. I would just be like, yeah, give my motherfucking money.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even train.
No, he will, because if he wins, he could demand more money in the UFC, and then they have to pay him more. Otherwise, he can go out and box. Yeah, they'll. That's a smart move.
They were throwing some numbers around there that were insane.
Well, Floyd will get $100 million.
But why would he even want to come back to, I mean, unless he just wants the fight, but you get like a $75 million. Why the
Because no one cares about him fighting other fighters. I mean, you know, Golovkin maybe. I mean, but he's not going to fight Gennady Golovkin.
Hold on, but that's my whole point of this thing. Like, why do we entertain the whole conversation of Mayweather-McGregor? Because it's Mayweather. Because he doesn't knock people out. Because
he's undefeated.
But that's what I'm saying. But the thing is, like, what if what if he was going to fight Triple G? We would be like, he'd get his fucking head knocked off.
By Triple G, he would.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But why don't we think that about Mayweather?
Because Mayweather is not, first of all, I think Mayweather's older. Mayweather is not known for a guy who's going to be knocking people out. He's more of a defensive fighter. So that's why I would say that against, where I would say Golovkin's a much more offensive. He's a harder hitter. I think you're in much more trouble fighting him if you're Conor than you are fighting Floyd. I don't think Floyd can't knock him out, but I don't think he would. That's my
opinion. I think he does.
Do you? It's possible. But Triple G is a different.
But I'm just saying, like, if this was another boxer we were talking about, like, it wouldn't even be a conversation of whether Conor could win.
You know, because against a guy like Mayweather, who's known much more for speed and getting out of the way, I think that he wins differently than a guy like Golovkin. You're surprised to see how many knockouts in a row did he have? I mean, until this last fight where he goes a distance, but he was like 25 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, he knocks people out. But I mean, if Conor was talking about fighting Canelo Alvarez or even Adrian Broner, I mean, we would not be saying, oh man, who's going to win that fight?
I think Mayweather's going to beat him. I guess part of it is I don't like Mayweather too. You know,
yeah, I think that's what it is more than anything else.
That's actually not a bad point.
I think the reality is that we all want Mayweather to lose.
That's
so
right.
We're giving Conor a chance.
That's it. I don't know if he has a chance to win. I just don't know if he gets knocked out. He might get stopped, but I don't think it happens early.
No, it'll take a while.
That's a good point, though. Maybe why are we not? I never see Floyd as that strong a fighter. And that could just be me not liking Floyd Mayweather.
I think that's what it is. Nobody likes to see the skill,
and Mike Tyson
the speed
hates him. And I like
Mike Tyson hates him.
He talks shit about him all the time. Thinks he's a coward. Yeah, he's bashed him.
Look at Matt over here.
I'm looking at the wall because I think he's boring as fuck.
Well, I think he's like,
oh, but it's the sweet science, and he's doing that. That's what I think of that. All right, can we talk about MMA?
I don't disagree with you.
Oh, but he's such a look at the way he rolls his shoulder. Oh. Fuck off.
Too long to fight Pacquiao. He makes me sick.
Hey, I will. Listen,
Connor.
I might say that, but will I buy it? Fuck
yeah. Of course you're going to buy it. Who's not going
to
buy it?
Perry? No, I'm only kidding. Mike Perry's calling up today.
Yeah, in a minute or two.
Oh, dude, let me tell you. And he's having some beef with
Ally Aquinta.
You know, listen. This is such an awkward thing for me. Not about Mike Perry. I like Mike Perry.
Yeah.
I got to talk with him a little bit, Mike Perry. And I think he's like a legitimate nut. I like him.
Yeah,
he's great for the sport. That's not a show.
No, for sure. Man, I know Mike Perry personally.
I like the guy.
In fact, I just saw him a couple weeks ago.
Nice
he's
guy,
a good kid.
Me. Good kid to me.
But he's crazy.
He is, right?
Well, anytime you start getting the tattoos on the face, there's a certain, you chose a certain path.
Listen, you know what I mean? I remember before when he was an amateur, because he came up in Florida as an amateur.
Oh.
Like, he had to take time off because he couldn't leave the house because he was on house arrest.
Yeah.
So he couldn't fight because, like, he was either in jail or on house arrest.
Well,
I mean, he's a legit, like, street kid.
He's making the right choices.
And he's making the right choices.
But he's respectful.
Yeah, that's why I'm proud of him.
Street kid all you want. Be all the street kid you want to be, but just be respectful. He met me very respectful.
Nah, he don't disrespect
So he's people. Having some shit with Ally Aquinta,
yes,
who's my
on
dude.
Twitter.
And Al's been a little out of his bird lately.
A little unpredictable on Twitter, yeah.
A little bit nutty on Twitter. Whether he has a few in him when that's going down, it would be my guess. But, you know, listen, I'm in a weird position. I'm very... Dana's... you know how close I am with Dana. I mean, I love Dana, man. Dana's, you know, people look at him like this and that, but the guy's a, I feel the guy's a close friend of mine. And Al's one of my guys. And Al's personally attacking Dana on fucking that thing and on Twitter. And I'm not on Twitter, but people will send it to me.
Is it a thing where he's attacking him, like trying to get a fight going and just doing it wrong?
He's being a little disrespectful. But you know what? He's got his points where he feels he's wrong. I say, like, this is what I say. I'm fucking staying out of it. The guy's 30 years old. If he's a young kid, 21, I'll grin by his ear. He's his own man. He's 30.
Grown man. He's grown.
He's 30 years old.
That's right.
And I like him. I know his parents. I love Dana. Hey, listen, how about this? Like, I'll tell Dana, like, hey, you know, you're good friends with Matt Hughes. Matt Hughes, I'm sure, thinks I'm an asshole. So what am I going to, I'm not going to be like, oh, he doesn't like me. He said I'm this and I'm that. Don't, you know, hey, man.
Man, I know how you feel, man, because, you know, when Tyron and Dana be beefing sometimes, I'd be like, damn, I got to stay out of this, man. I got to stay out of this because, like,
you got,
you know, Tyron's my
it.
Dude and, like, you know, Dana's the man. So it's like, man, I hope this shit don't reflect on me.
But they don't, they probably don't go at it as nasty as what, like, Al seems like he's really disliking. Yeah. I don't think Tyron goes.
No, he don't go at it like that, but you know what I'm saying? But it's still disrespectful.
And the biggest thing, like, the thing I hate about it all is it just feels like it's, I mean, I'm not trying to be selfish about it, but it kind of like it, I want everybody, I'm the kind of guy that I want all my,
you don't
people
see your friends
me. I want them happy, but yeah. I want them happy. I want like I want, like, that night what happened with Diego Sanchez, who I hold in very high regard,
yes,
for that, it almost, like, I don't know, it feels like it almost ruined the good time, that which we had a great victory, and then it's all this shitstorm of whatever it is.
Well,
you know what I mean? It
kind of
bums me out.
After a knockout like that. And look, I don't think Al is crazy to be annoyed that he didn't get knocked out. Like, you know, hey, look, I mean, the Ellenberger fucking Perry thing was amazing. That elbow was great. But, I mean,
my thing is,
a very tough dude.
I listen, 100%. And I feel he has, if he you know, has legitimate, like, gripes, and he has things that he feels he's being wronged, I just feel there's a certain way to go about it. Like, and I don't, myself and Ray Longo don't agree with the way he's going about it. But as far as, like, you know, the thing attacking Dana kind of hits me hard because he's my friend. I don't like, and if Dana says something about him, I'm not going to like that either. So it's like, I just stay totally out of it. So what am I going to do?
Yeah, but you gotta think of it this way. It's like, what's the bonus? What, 50 grand?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money to go, you owe me this, or you're a fucking chump. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of money to just obligate somebody to owe you 50 grand because you feel like you deserve it.
No, but I mean, to play devil's advocate, and because I know Al, and if, listen, you know the speech that Dana gives in the back?
Yeah.
About, listen, man, you know, we set this, you know, now the stage is set, basically, and it's up to you guys to deliver. Don't let it go to the judges, this and that. Man, I could think of four times right off the bat he didn't let it go to the judges, and two of those times were in co-main events. One with Ross Pearson, and the other one with Diego Sanchez. And he put these guys out, you know? Joe Lazone, I mean, Rodrigo Dam. I mean, he's put guys out, he delivers. He might not be the best on the mic, but he is definitely a marketable kid. But listen, it is what it is. I don't even want
to... So you think the whole beef kind of goes back to other fights?
Al's thing was saying he was kind of going into the whole, like, he missed a... He missed one of those fighter meetings. You know what I mean?
Those fighter meetings.
But he had something where he was, like, nursing an injury, and then he had a fight in, like, 5 weeks. So he's like, look, man, I gotta... And then they found him on Instagram.
I know, like, they found him also taking a picture at the beach.
Yeah, he's at the beach. Yeah, he's like, yeah, man, but I was, you know... After training, I went to the beach and I was, you know, whatever. So
where did
he's like, they called him up, like, he was like, the principal caught him, and then, like, one of the guys, the soldier, I don't know who it was in this. They're like, I heard you were hurt. I saw you at the beach. It's like, hey, dude, fucking really? Look, bro, are you fucking? Yeah.
Hey, wait, where did he have to go for the fight? Summit that he
Vegas. So I mean, listen, it does cut into the camp. There's a time when I think I was getting ready for Matt Hughes or something where I had to miss one of those. You know, listen, the fight is the priority, and I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what? It's kind of a bad look. Like, if you're playing hooky, but then you're taking pictures at
listen,
the beach. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really do that, though.
I mean, I don't know. It is what it is, man. But all I know is they had some shit, and then he started talking shit. He's talking shit to Mike Perry. I don't know.
Mike keeps saying, meet me at welterweight. Meet me at 170.
It'd be a good fight.
It would be fun.
But he's also saying that he's the new president and he'll fight Cub Swanson. He's a lighter weight class. I think Al had a couple of Bud Lights and whatnot. I don't know. if you ask me, that's my
guess. Opinion. Sure.
Does he have legitimate gripes or this or that? This and that. Yes, but I think Al's partying and then gets on Twitter. And you know what they say about Twitter fingers?
They become
Twitter fingers turn to trigger fingers.
And what's the rest of it?
I'm getting bodied by a singing. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
Listen, I'm not going to say it neither, man.
What did I tell you this morning when we talked? I want to sing all these songs. I love these songs, but it's all the N-word. I can't say these songs.
That's why they do that, just to fuck you up so you have to dance around it.
I know, man. Yeah, right? White guys dance around. Body by a singer.
And I'm looking at you. Say it. I'm not going to say it.
Swear
to God, say it.
With your reach, you can get me from there, you fuck. You have to jump over Jimmy.
Singing fellow. Just say a singing fellow.
You're getting bodied by a singing fellow.
I don't know that if that works. Annoy people even more.
I don't know. I like this music. It's like a real white guy. I really like the music.
Oh, I do too. But I like the older stuff when they're sucker MCing. The
sucker
old
MCs.
Yeah, the old 80s stuff.
What do we got?
Hey, Mike Perry, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Mikey. Tell me about the tattoos.
Welcome to the show.
Now, the first tattoo you got on your face.
Go on now.
About that. What happened? No?
Where is he?
No, I gave the little signal. We don't have him yet.
You know what I want to... Know what I think of that?
Okay.
Yes! Boo! Boo, Chris the producer! Fuck you! I took it too far?
Yeah, it's not Chris's fault.
I'm sorry, guys. I am so hyped up today.
I don't like your warm beverage, though. I stick up for my friends.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I don't want to be a freaking spoiled brat. Prima donna.
Sure.
I swear to God, can I have a cold beverage? Fucking, are you serious? How am I supposed to do the show? My voice is killing me.
Can I get you some ice, maybe? We'll put it over.
Fuck your ice.
Yeah, get him ice and
fuck
some
your
and a
ice.
Cup.
Don't I have one of those other drinks that I normally get from the GNC? Do. It's got to be in there,
How about a nice ice cold
Does
beverage
gotta be
for,
in
the
there?
Matt, for Matt Sarah?
Oh, are they listening next door? Could they hear this?
No.
They don't listen.
No. Let's get Mike Perry on the phone, then I'll get you.
Let's try to get Mike Perry. We already had him. I was talking about making 10 minutes. He's not here.
What else do we got in the news today? Anything?
Well, Cormier and Jones are going back and forth on Twitter.
That's always fun.
That is always fun. It looks like that's going to be the fight. I'm guessing July is going to. What is it? Not July 8th.
What's July 29th? Yeah, July 29th.
Oh.
Who's on the July 8th card? Isn't that the big holiday card?
Yeah, but they don't have it set yet.
What are you talking about?
Right now it's just Cody and TJ.
They're the co-main. So it could be Tyron GSP.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're set as the co-main. They're just on
Tyron GSP.
Oh, imagine if he would have said, maybe.
It's going to be Tyron and...
It's so exciting.
I'm not saying it.
Can we get a... We got to get some breaking
What's it
news
rhyme
on this show.
What? We got to get some breaking news.
We got to get some breaking news.
We're going to break it to
I'm
ESPN.
Trying, man. Listen,
what do you think this is?
Tyron.
Yeah, get Tyron on the phone and let him do it.
Let's call him.
How's your career going with the are you having fun with the funny business?
The funny business?
Are you doing stand-up comedy or what?
It's right, man. No, I'm doing more improv right now.
I saw Dean said
improv?
He said he's very funny.
Thank you, Jim.
Listen, that's like hearing like you're good from like, you know, God.
No, that's true. You are really funny, man. I texted you back. I thought it was good.
Mike Perry's calling us.
Okay, cool. Well, you were saved, you motherfucker. I was about to attack you a fucking lemon improv.
Hey Mike Perry, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. You're talking to Jim Norton and Matt Serra and Dean Thomas.
What's up, Mike?
What's happening?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Yeah,
I don't know Jim, but I know Matt and Dean.
Yeah, I don't fight. I'm just here. So we're trying to get Dean.
I'm sorry, I missed your guys' call.
We're trying to get Dean to spit out who Tyron is fighting, because Tyron has said that he's already beginning a training camp, and we don't know who he is going to fight. Or when. So we're trying to get Dean to cough it up, and he won't.
As long as it's not Conor McGregor.
Why not Conor?
Because, man, Tyrone Woodley would destroy that man. But, I mean, I guess Tyrone deserves that paycheck, though.
Let me ask you, are you sick of Conor?
I mean, no, I don't know. I'm not a hater.
Right.
He's out there getting his money, and I mean, I just want to take it from him, though.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, let me ask you. The first tattoo, when did you get the tattoos on your face? When did you get those?
After my UFC debut. Once y'all put me on camera, I was like, that's it. I'm getting them.
Was it?
Yeah, it was after my UFC debut. I was like, y'all let me in. I done shocked the world. Now that you let me in, I'm going to shock them again and get a tattoo on my face. And then I'm going to keep shocking y'all. So,
what does it say above the eyebrow?
Platinum.
Platinum.
All my... All my tattoos have to do with fighting because I dedicated my life to this a long time ago.
And can I say something to you, Mike? I've watched your career from the beginning. I remember the first time you walked into the gym in Longwood, and I've watched you come up and fight as an amateur, and then I've watched you as an early regional pro, and now for you to be in the UFC, you were the one guys who, you know, everybody says, oh, I'm going to be fighting the UFC, but you're one of the one guys that really made it, and I've watched it happen, and I'm extremely proud of you for that.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, man. Because I remember you too. You know what I mean? You were too busy though back then. You were working with the UFC back then with guys who were in the UFC, and you had Coconut Creek and back and forth between all the gyms. And I just, you know, I told you guys, and I never needed anybody in my corner when I told everybody, because nobody believes somebody when they say I'm going to be in the UFC when they're 17 years old. Nobody believes that kid. But I was like, everybody who goes through their breath when I say that, I was like, okay, you watch, you pay attention. And I told all y'all.
Hey, hey, Mike, I'm happy. I'm super happy that you proved Dean Thomas wrong.
Yeah. I didn't believe you. Well, in all fairness, though, Mike, there were times where, like, you couldn't come to the gym because you had your ankle bracelet on and you couldn't train. You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't leave the house.
That's not true. I was never on no ankle monitor. I was on house arrest at some point in my life, yes, but I was not under the ankle monitor. It was community control.
See, Dean,
what? I did some fights 2 days' notice while I was on house arrest. I didn't tell anybody, and I just left the house, and because all that they could catch me with was if the officer came to the house and I wasn't there. So usually he comes sometimes, he doesn't come, so I went for it. I was smoking Newport cigarettes 2 days before they called me and said, come fight this guy for the Florida State title. And I was like, yes, I'm coming. I'll be there. I quit smoking cigarettes for 2 days, and then the champion backed out. But another guy picked up the fight, and I dropped I TKO'd him. That was when ground and pound came to be legal in Florida.
Let me ask you, did you TKO the habit of smoking cigarettes or no?
Oh, yes. Good. Good. It was a long time ago.
Good, man, because I'll tell you, you are impressive as hell, dude. I like you. I really like you on the mic. And that elbow is giving many people nightmares to this day. That was a brutal nightmare.
What can elbow. I say? I already got a plan knockout to beat the elbow.
Oh.
I know what I'm going to do to knock somebody out that people are going to go, oh my God, he did something else again that we weren't ready for.
Oh, something for a highlight reel.
Yes, definitely.
Now, Mike, what happened also on Twitter between you and Al? He had a great knockout of Diego Sanchez, and I guess you guys got into it on Twitter. How did that start?
Well, I mean, they asked me some questions, like Ariel Helwani asked me some questions about it, and I just told the truth. But then I feel like he started saying stuff on Twitter. Like at first he posted up the picture of the people who won the bonus, and he's like, fuck y'all. And I was like, calm down, man. You know what I mean? It's not that big of a deal. He cried so much. And then, like, I didn't know how much he cried until I did a little research and seen, because Ariel Helwani asked me about it and him, so I figured maybe Ariel would ask him about it. But they didn't talk about it at all. But I did notice in his interview with Ariel, he just complained the whole time. So then I was like, wow, this guy is really annoying. So then I just figured I'd say something, because it could have been a good fight. You know, maybe we could have made a little controversy and did a fight out of it. And you know, he tried to say, oh, Abe Kawa, my manager, wants to sign him, so tag him. And I was like, what does it matter if he signs you? We could still fight. Then he wins triple the money.
Right.
He's going to get show, win, plus show, and he'll be extremely happy if two of his guys fight each other in the UFC, you know?
So yeah. I don't know
if we'll get that fight.
So you didn't like the fact that your bonus was being questioned?
Yeah, man, because I was definitely, I thought the first two wins I had in the UFC could have been bonuses, and the UFC does look out. You don't win the fight. I mean, there's a lot of talent going up at night, and I was like, they were like, do you think you've done enough to secure the knockout of the night bonus tonight against Ellenberger? And I was like, yeah, unless somebody does like a backflip kick to somebody's head, and Yair Rodriguez is out here doing that stuff. You know what I mean? He's doing backflip kicks all the time. So I'm waiting for somebody to get knocked out with something spectacular like that. An elbow wouldn't have beat a backflip knockout. But, I mean, it beat a regular right hand. I'd have to give it that. So don't question my stuff unless you want to fight about it.
After the fight, too, you suggested that Ellenberger might want to hang up the gloves. What made you say that? Was it just because – was he an easier fight than you thought, or because you caught him with the elbow?
I guess. I mean, 31 and 13 now. That's a lot of losses. He didn't seem or feel like number 13 in the world. He's taken a few losses. But then again, I wouldn't be mad if he came out and beat somebody up to show that he does still have it or whatever, but – I mean, I don't know. Maybe I was just talking shit. Like, I want to be his last opponent because I get knocked out. I mean, ain't nobody going to knock me out like that. I don't give a damn. I would have took that elbow. He tried to hit me with the same elbow at the same time. That shit wouldn't have put me down. So
it's funny. Like that. No, it's interesting. Like, I'm reading your bio, and it said you have to deal with a lot of kids that used to talk a lot of shit to you growing up. And to this, it says here, I'm quoting you, it says, to this day, I hate a shit talker. Now look.
Is that you, what I said?
You did.
That's exactly. Now look, you might be a shit talker, but you definitely 100% back it up. But what do you think of that?
I mean, a shit talker on the other side of a keyboard who isn't going to show up and do shit?
Right.
That's maybe what I was talking about. If it was for I quote, that's what I said, I guess. But yeah, man, I mean, people like Aliquinta talking trash. I used to show up at people's houses. When I was 17 and stuff, you know how kids are. We get angry on the internet and we start talking some crazy stuff about people's mamas. And if your jokes are funnier than mine, then I'm just going to be like, well, I'll beat your ass. And I'm going to show up, and I'm going to beat your ass.
So if the joke's like about – Mike, I thought you were going to go where if the guy's jokes are funny, you'd say, he gets a pass because they're funny. But you're saying that if the guy's jokes are funnier than yours, he's going to get it. You're going to kick his ass.
I got to win.
That's good. I love that. I love that.
The perfect scenario is me winning.
Hey, are you still running around with Alex Nicholson?
Yeah, man, we be running wild. I mean, but he having a kid now. I'm out here the only one being smart from high school, not out here having children.
All the people from high school now are going to kill themselves. He's the guy that's being smart, but the tattoos on his face talking mad shit and knocking people out. Nah, listen, Mike, you're doing great, man. Yeah. I can't wait to see who you're paired up with next. Let me ask you about that the guy your loss to Alan Joban. Now, everybody says they take away something from a loss. Now, you know, not to do that old cliche, but you know, hey, what did you take from that?
I took, if you look back at the tweets between me and Alan before he blocked me, I said that I was gonna. And I spelt it G-O-N-A. And then he responded, gonna, G-O-N-N-A. And I was like, that's not even a real fucking word. So how can I spell it wrong? Apparently, gonna is in the dictionary. So I learned that you have to spell gonna with two N's.
Oh, so that's what you
said.
Okay.
So that's what you learned from it?
Yes.
You learned how to spell
that's
gonna?
That's what I learned from it.
That is the best. That's the best thing.
If I'm going to do something, it's got to be 2N gonna.
That's probably the best thing I heard all morning.
Yeah.
That extra N would have been that KO finish against Alan Joban. You know what I mean? That's what that extra N would have been. I barely touched him, and he's wobbling across the ring. I don't know, man. I was a step behind that night, but I was a lot faster in front of Ellenberger. And if it was even a thought in somebody's mind to set the rematch for me and Alan Joban, first of all, I don't know if he'd take it. If he did, I'm gonna do to him worse than what Gunner did, and. I mean, I'd fight Gunnar Nelson. He's up there. Whatever the right fight is, though, that we're trying to get, you know what I mean? Before we get them real high fights, my contract might have to change. I know my manager does all that and thinks about those things, but, I mean, like, if I was going to fight Conor McGregor, I mean, like, maybe I would do it for what my contract says right now, because I would just take that win and the world would be like, oh, but then they would forget about him and forget to pay me next time. You know what I mean? They'd be like, oh, they was just supposed to be that way. Like, I beat Jake and everybody's like, oh, he was old. But he wasn't as old as Alan Joban. Alan Joban just took better care of himself. And he fought the way that he fought, a little running pretty boy style. And it works. That's good shit. That's Floyd Mayweather stuff. That's some of the best in the world. And so, I mean, being in there with Joban did teach me a lot of things. He was a fantastic kickboxer, but I know that there are other things that fighters need, like heart and chin and the ability and the want to bleed and need this shit in their lives. You know what I mean? And, I mean, I would take any fight, but if I had to fight Tyrone Woodley tomorrow, I mean, damn, I keep saying stuff. Then in the back of my head, I go, well, I would do it for the money that I would keep fighting for the money that they're giving me right now. But to be a smart businessman, that's what I have a manager for, so he can say, look, no, Mike's not going to fight for that. Not this fight, at least. He's fighting the champion of the world. He's going to get – we're going to renegotiate this contract right now and get this real money, because at the end of the day, I can't do this shit until I'm 60, and I will get old eventually. I will get, you know, bumps and bruises down the line. We've always said since I was 17, please excuse my language, but we got to make the shirt. You get fucked up doing this shit. That's point blank, period. I mean, I go into every single fight with a little injury somewhere. Like the last 2 weeks, I don't do sparring and stuff like that because I have little bumps and bruises that I have to heal up so that I can fight at my best capability. So, I mean, we'll see. I gotta take the fights as they come. I don't say no to them, but the money's got to get better. And don't get me wrong, it's not that it's not great already. It's already changed my life so much. But if I want to live the dreams that I see in my head, where I don't have to try so damn hard anymore when I'm 50 years old, maybe I want to retire when I'm 50. So I want to be able to do that. I got to see this money stack up. So let's get some big money fights going. Let's get my name out there. Let the world know that I'm not playing no games. And I did that against Ellenberger, and I'm going to do it again. The next guy is going to give the same treatment.
Mike, what you mentioning Tyron Woodley, a guy like Tyron who has such punching power and so tremendous on the ground, what do you do against a guy like that to avoid him taking you down?
You hit him harder than he hit you.
That's it. I guess so. I mean, in a nutshell, that's really, you're right. Yeah.
But there has to be a little more to the strategy. Yeah.
I don't think he wants to the strategy.
But I mean, he's saying Tyron, and Tyron is pretty devastating on the ground.
Mike,
I mean,
what would your dream matchup be like right in the current roster of the UFC welterweights? What would your dream matchup be right now?
Nate Diaz or Tyrone Woodley Nate's a 155, but he has fought at 70, but that would be good. So I could fight Nick Diaz or Tyrone Woodley. I mean, the champ, I like the champ though. I've become, I don't know if he'll say the same thing, but I've been cool with him, man. It's a real friendly thing when, you know, I mean, you got to respect the man. He's the champ. And so, I mean, he showed me some respect by even mentioning my name on the post-fight press conference stuff. So that's really cool. But, I mean, fight of my dreams. I don't know. Fight my damn self and watch it from the outside. that shit would be so exciting. I couldn't imagine how exciting that would be.
I don't know how many fights you have left on your contract and all that, but listen, you keep doing what you did last fight, man, the money will come. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. I got four more. I re-signed a contract. I don't worry talking about this stuff. I redid one. I had the four-fight contract. I fought three of them. We re-signed for five more, and then I just did one of them. And, you know, so that's what I'm here for, man, to keep fighting. I haven't said anything to the UFC like, oh, I don't make enough money, or, oh, you gave the bonuses to somebody else. When I beat Danny Roberts, I didn't cry about shit. I was happy I got my victory, baby. That's what we go out here to do. It's you go out there and you do or you don't. And that's one of the hardest jobs in the world, but it's one of the best jobs in the world, too.
Your pace of fights has been pretty impressive. Are you looking to continue to fight as often as you do, or do you want to take a little bit more time in between?
No, man, let's get it. Let's let's go. But I do think there are things like I fought 3 times in 4 months. The Alan Jouban fight was the third one at the end of last year. I got in August, fought my last one in December of last year, and fighting 4 times in 3 months, and then after a good little war with Danny Roberts, maybe there were things that I had to hold back. Like, I kicked Jake Ellenberger a lot more this fight. Just a little toe slaps to his leg got his attention a lot more, and I didn't really use those. I let Alan Jouban do it to me in our fight, and I didn't throw them back at him. I should have went, you know, more kick for kick with him, but also, like, my leg just got done hurting from kicking Hung Yu Lim in the thigh back in August. You know what I mean? Those things stick around for a while, little bumps to the shins and things like that. So I guess I just need to pay more attention and be more honest with myself that, like, you know, is this going to affect me at all? Or am I going to use it to its full capability in the fight? I need to be 100% honest with myself when that call comes, and that I can ask myself that question. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'll take this fight with this style matchup and this and that. You know, I'm going to need my left leg or my right leg or my right foot to kick this motherfucker to keep him at bay. And, you know, I just got to be more honest with myself. But I really don't have any injuries after the Jake Ellenberger thing. It's weird. It's like the adrenaline alone can make you sore. I beat Ellenberger, and it seemed effortless. I know the first round wasn't the greatest for first round, but I never win rounds, dude. I win fights. It's like I was setting something up the whole first round that I didn't want to show him that I was going to throw, and that was that left hook. And then when I came out in the second round, I threw that left hook, and I got his ass with it. And usually when I touch people, they go down. So that's how it's been 10 times, and it's going to be that way 10 more. So, I mean, I just have to ask myself, okay, my left hand is hurt. Maybe I shouldn't take this fight that's coming up because I'm going to need this left hand to hurt somebody. But luckily, that's not an issue right now after the Jake Ellenberger fight. My nose is a little sore, but I went to the doctor today. It wasn't broken. It looked sideways on TV, which was weird because it's not sideways at all. It's straight as can be, and the doctor just said it's not broken. So I'm cleared, and I don't know if I'm going to take a punch to the face for another week or so. Let that heal just a little bit more.
What did you do before you
get back to it?
What did you do before you were fighting? Because I know you come from an area where you had to fight a lot in school. What were you doing right before you started fighting?
Man, I did any sport, and I just was an outside kid. I rode my bike, you know, 20 miles all over wherever. I was either in Michigan or in Florida, and I played basketball all the time, played football, and wrestled a little bit in high school. I didn't get to compete in wrestling because my grades were terrible, but I didn't do anything. I didn't do any work. I just went to school for lunch and for gym and for girls. Like, that's why I went to school.
Lunch, gym, and girls.
But what about work? Like, work-wise, like prior to, like, finally, what did you?
I did hard labor stuff, man. I did construction for a lot of years, and then actually, I at one point had 2 jobs where I was teaching in the gym, and I did mold removal and stuff like that. And like, I mean, I come from working hard, and that used to keep me in shape when I was an amateur. I worked to train, or I trained at work. Like, while I was doing swimming pools, I was doing remodeling swimming pools. I just used the fact that I was in the sun and picking up big slurry boxes and stuff like that. That was my workout. That was how I trained to beat people up. And I wasn't able to really train martial arts. I would, like, shadow box inside of people's pools in their backyards and stuff. And, like, then I got locked up. And when I got out, a friend of mine got me a job at the UFC gym, like, the next day, because I had already met the owner a while back. And they believed in me. They gave me a job. I started teaching an MMA program. And then they switched me from the MMA program to just cardio kickboxing classes. And I did a lot of private training. So then I was able to stop doing the hard construction work.
Sure.
And just, I just worked my ass off on training people in the early morning and throughout the day and late at night too, man. I just trained people, and just being in the gym like that, it just, I just kept trying to fight and get ready for fights as much as I could. I got all my pro fights off of Facebook.
Wow. Were you, Mike, were you locked up for a while, or was it a brief in and out?
6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Brief, but it felt like forever.
I know it was for a burglary. Was it one of those things where, like, you needed money to eat, or were you going down a road of getting high, or, because obviously it got nipped in the bud.
Yeah, it was actually, when I first went to jail for the burglary, I did a few days, and, like, I don't know, man. I was just a kid, man, and like, I was taking care of myself at a young age. I had moved out, and it was like my friends were either selling drugs, or everybody wanted to be a gangster and play Grand Theft Auto in real life, and things like that. It was childish stuff, and I didn't know that I was gonna hurt anybody. I didn't know, or I wasn't paying attention to those things, man. I didn't know that those things mattered. And then same type of things could have and did start happening to me. Like, I might get robbed or something like that. I mean, like, nobody, I didn't used to beat people up and take their stuff, but I was doing some terrible stuff, man. I don't know. It seemed like the type of thing that I grew up around, and it seemed more normal than now that I have a grown head on my shoulders. I'm like, wow, I was a really abnormal kid. I didn't know how to be a kid. I mean, my kid life got taken away at a young age, man. That's why I didn't apply myself in school. I was just too busy trying to worry about getting money other ways or something.
Who took your kid life away?
I mean, I don't know, man. I didn't have the best, or my parents had to learn too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe it was a great uprising, because whatever it did, it got me where I am. However I learned what I learned, I'm doing really good in life now, and I'm helping people out too on other sides and other ways and with other than just money. Just my time helps people now. Just me being somewhere is like a cool thing for people, and I appreciate that, you know what I mean? Because I still kind of am, but such an asshole. But, like, I mean, just the fact that when people see me there, they know I'm an asshole, and I'm there, and I'm, like, smiling, and I'm like, hey, I hope you're doing well. That really means something to people. So that's pretty cool that I've turned my life around a lot, because it used to be people wouldn't even look at me. And I used to have, I don't know, man, maybe it was just anger issues. I was a strong kid with a lot of testosterone. And I just wanted to fight people all the time, but I didn't know that all this money was out there to get from fighting, you know?
No. Hey, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I was just going to say, Mike, what made you start making the right choices? Was it the sport of MMA? Was it the jail time you did? What made you get on the right path?
I got to say simply that it was the jail time, and the fact that before and after jail, I was still on probation. Like, I did 6 days when I first got arrested for the crime. Then I got sentenced to a 2 years house arrest and 3 years probation. I did a year and a half of house arrest, and I did the last 6 months of that house arrest in jail. And I was just like, wow, this is not where I want to be at all. I definitely need to turn my life around. I can't be out here committing crimes and thinking that it's okay. So, I mean, simply put, it was jail and probation that the system works, bro. If you want it to, either you don't want to be there or you must want to be there, because there's other ways to get money. I mean, I'm definitely the type to go out and get a job. So,
well, you got a little taste of how bad it could be, and you got smart about it and went another direction. A lot of people don't.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good about that. You know, my probation officer before I got done was saying that there's not, you'd be surprised the amount of people don't make it through. And I did. Well, I know I messed up along the way. I violated twice, but I mean, those were not new crimes. Technically, they were technicals. just little things like moving addresses and not letting them know at the right time and stuff like that. You can go to jail for that.
So, yeah, just things they pop you for as opposed to new crimes, right?
Yeah, man. So I wouldn't even jaywalk, you know what I mean? But don't get it wrong. Like, I didn't let that control me. I think that's why I was able to overcome it, because I know the difference between right and wrong enough to where, like, if I got across the street and it's not at the crosswalk and a cop stops me, I can be like, listen, sir, I'm very sorry. You know what I mean? You got to know how to talk to people. You see all these videos of, as soon as people get pulled over by police, they're like, fuck you. And they're just, and they wonder why they get their ass beat by the police. Don't, I'm not saying that the police are always right there. And listen, I'm not a fan of the police, but I'm a fan of the truth and, like, honesty and things like knowing what you should and should not do. And I mean, the fact is that when I was young and I was doing those things, I thank God every day that somebody didn't kill me, shoot me in my head, and
right,
just end my life there. Because I was that dumb that they could have done that, and I would have fucking deserved it. But thank God that didn't happen. And, you know, maybe I can tell people not to be that way, not to live that way, that all the people that think it's cool to be a gangster, that when you tell them your little story about how you robbed a convenience store and you're about to go to jail, that none of them people that thought you was cool are going to be there when your ass is in jail.
I spent one night in jail for a radio stunt. I was on a bus with a bunch of naked girls, and we had to go down to the tombs. Here's the worst part of my one night in jail. I had to shit, and I couldn't use the toilet because there were roaches crawling on it, and there was no front, no door. I'm like, I can't live like this.
No, that's not good.
No, I'm not a big guy, Mike. I wouldn't do very well there.
I spent 52 weekends in jail. I beat a dude up with a wrench. And I got sentenced to 52 weekends. Ooh. And to this day,
who the fuck are you?
I'm the different guy.
You beat a guy with a wrench?
But it was a long time.
I'm so jealous of that. I've been wanting to do that my whole life.
It was a long time ago.
The Fast and the Furious plot.
No, it was a long time ago.
You found them out, Mike.
You found me out. But to this day, I'm with you, Jim. I've never taken a shit in jail.
It seems like
I held it all weekend.
How old were you when that shit happened?
18.
All right, Mike, we'll let you run. But thank you so much for calling in. You're really a fascinating guy and such a great fighter to watch. And I'm looking forward to your next fight, whoever it's against. It's got to be somebody ranked, though. Obviously, you earned that. And you're probably going to move up pretty fast. So congratulations, man.
Yeah, Mike.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you guys having me on.
And, Mike, if it means anything, I don't think you're an asshole. I met you, and you were a very respectful dude. But I like what you do on the mic.
I remember the one thing you were like, he pulls his hand from the handshake and he screams at you and you were like, I don't want to have to hang out with you to want to watch you fight.
Oh, shit, Mike. I think you're totally right.
You're like, I don't know.
Wait
you're
a second, like, Mike, in all fairness.
I want to hang out with the guy, but I want to watch him fight.
Hey, Mike, in all fairness to that, that's before I met you, though, right or wrong.
That's true.
When I met
that's
you, you true. Were, and I remember this because I remember before I met Mike, now I feel like I kind of know him. I mean, I met a very nice dude when I was out there with Al, and a very respectful guy. But then I'm like, oh shit, that's the same, that's Mike, that's the same guy at the Wayans where he's a fucking madman and he's talking crazy shit and this and that. But he backs it up. And that's when I said on this show, I didn't know you were a fan of this show. Because I did say on this show, Jimmy, that exactly what Mike said. I said, I don't have to want to hang out with the guy to watch him fight. And I feel that way. But now after meeting you, I'll have a beer with you, Mike.
Oh, man. Well, I look forward to that.
Awesome,
and,
man.
Maybe Dean Thomas can be there, too. We should be going to New York soon in June, so maybe I'll come up there and see you guys. I'll let you know when I'll stop by. I appreciate you having me, though.
All right, buddy. Definitely. We'll see you soon.
You got it, Mike.
Yeah, peace.
Take care,
Mike. Man.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who they match him up with, man. It's got to be somebody, right? Maybe Ponzinibbio or maybe Ryan LaFleur.
I was just thinking that Ponzinibbio and him would be a barn burner because they would just stand there and bang.
Oh, LaFleur, too, you said.
I said Ryan LaFleur. Yeah.
That's a very good fight right there. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Because LaFleur is doing really well.
But I see LaFleur like trying to wrestle him a bit, you know, like Ponzinibbio would just stand there and they would just throw it down.
Doesn't he have like a 90-something percentage like strike? Like he just does not.
Who, Ponzinibbio?
He's a
banger. And so is Mike, so that would be a good fight.
I didn't know he was a fan of the show, and I forgot I even said that.
Maybe I'm not even a fan of the show. How is this possible?
Well, before you move on, Matt, I want to talk to Dean the Wrench Thomas. What happened?
Wait a minute. I was trying to hide that. I can't hide that. What? No,
you're a young man.
Yeah, so, you know, I was like 17.
Were you a martial artist?
No. Just a high school kid. just about to turn 18.
Why are you and my rich?
Girl, no, because you know what I'm saying? Like, I was so mad.
What happened?
So, my girl, like me and my girl, like, broke up. And you know, when you're a kid, like, you think you're in love.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how it is when you're 17 years old, you get a girl, sure. You've been dating for like 6 months, you think you're in love.
She's the one.
Yeah, that's the one. That was the one.
Yeah.
So eventually, you know, she broke up with me and then she started seeing another guy. And I was jealous as hell. So I went over her house one day and he was there and he was like, he was like making faces at me through the window.
Wow.
Yeah. So like already, already.
Big guy, little guy.
He was a little bit bigger than me. Okay. But I was so mad. So I went to the car and I got the first thing I could find. I was
What kind of faces was he making?
He was like,
your raspberries.
Yeah, like, you know, he put stick his fingers in his ears and go. So yeah. He making faces at me. So I said, come outside. And he wouldn't come outside. So I waited for him to come outside. And then when he came out, I opened up his car door and I just stuck him. I was punching him with my fist at first. And then I said, oh, wait, I got this wrench in my hand. Let me just hit him with this. And then I hit him with the wrench.
Man, what happened there?
So he ended up getting like 20 stitches. And then I ended up going to jail.
For 52 weekends.
Yeah.
Did you fight in jail?
No.
How does that work, 52 weekends?
So, what happens is, like, you know, if they feel, it was my first offense, and they felt like that I was, like, a good
crime
kid.
Crime of passion.
Yeah, so they felt like, you know, let's not ruin his life totally.
So how does that work when you're going on the weekends? How does that work?
Like, you go in on Friday.
Friday afternoon?
Yeah, going on Friday at 6, and you get out at Sunday on 6.
6 p.m.?
Yeah. It's awful too, because like on Friday and Saturday we'd have to do like details. So we'd go out, and this was the time we was wearing stripes, and we'd go out and pick up trash on the street, and I'd see my friends like drive by and try to turn around so they didn't see me.
Do you know how lucky you got though? Like, if that, let's say that had killed him, like the whole different direction your life would have taken. Like,
I know.
It's one dumb move and could have ended your life.
See how it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's why, you know, to this day I appreciate the fact that I didn't kill him.
Yeah. Did you ever see him again?
No, I never seen him again.
Wow.
I wonder if he's seen me again.
He has to.
And
he's probably lucky. Like, I'm glad that guy hit me with a wrench and choking me.
That was like my first victory, really. I mean, even though I cheated, but it's still my first victory.
You ever see the girl again?
Yeah.
How'd she handle it?
She handled it well. I married her.
Is that your wife now?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wait, you were dating? Okay, this you romantic. Wow. So wait, you were dating a girl. She broke up with you. Starts dating someone else. You hit him with a wrench, and then she goes, "I like this guy."
Yeah,
kind of.
Oh my god!
You ever see like the penguins fight in National Geographic?
Yeah,
it was very much like that.
How long after you hit this new boyfriend with a wrench did she go, I'll go out with you again? Like, what happened?
It took a while, because for a while she was scared of me. She was like, "Oh, he's crazy. He's crazy."
You didn't
want
her to be scared of you.
Nah, I didn't want her to be scared of me.
Wow,
I'm scared of you.
You should be. See, now you're not messing with me no more.
Good. Show your tattoo to Jimmy.
Oh, you want to see the tattoo?
I do.
Look at that.
Read it.
It says, "Hey, Matt, I won."
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You really got one.
We had a fight a while ago. So he put, and I got my hand raised, but he puts his opinion on his arm like it means something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what though, because like I did this we did it on the show, and like, I had to wear a long sleeve shirt for 2 months to cover it up so nobody saw it. It sucked being in Florida in the middle of the summer with a damn long sleeve shirt on.
You run cold anyway, though.
I know. Yeah, I do. But still, but not in the middle of Florida in the summertime. It's like 100 degrees, man. I'd be wearing long sleeve shirts to cover up this tattoo.
So you're going to text Tyron and have him call us and tell us who he's fighting?
We're going to need some breaking news here.
We need some. This is UFC Unfiltered.
He hasn't hit me back, man. I'll text him to see if he would come on the show.
Come on, man. This is...
I'm trying.
Why don't you text your buddy Dana? Dana's my boss.
What do you want me to say?
Hey, buddy, you want to call in and tell us who Tyron's fighting?
Hey, I'm in studio. Give me some breaking news.
Yeah, hey, help us out.
All right, hand him my phone.
All right, hand him his phone.
Hand my phone. I'm going to
Dana, give us a call. We'd love you if you gave us a call. I got to pee.
He might be on vacation.
All right, cool. He called from vacation. He'd love it. I got to pee.
All right, let's take a break quick.
This is UFC Unfiltered with Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports UFC Unfiltered. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to work with someone you can trust who has your best interest in mind. And with Rocket Mortgage, you'll get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial info to get mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/unfiltered. That's Q-U-I-C-K-E-N loans.com/unfiltered. An equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. We're back. Dean and Matt used the restroom. I did not because Matt went in between me and Dean. And I know Matt was going to cause a problem.
Wait,
in there.
You didn't go?
No, I'll wait.
Are you serious? You didn't go? I thought you went before me.
No. It was Dean and then, but it was no big deal.
I was in it for a little bit.
Yes, you were. I heard the paper ripping. I'm like, I'm not going
to. I'm big on cleanup. I'm very clean.
I respect
Jimmy.
That.
I'm very clean.
I know.
I'm not saying I have the cleanest butt in the room, but I'd put money on it.
You could. You'd lose that bet, but I'm happy.
Oh, you're, why is that?
It just is what it is.
I don't think we're going to be
my
hiney's
immaculate. But we did, Dean.
That's
did get
it. Drop. We're going to both drop our pants. Get over here, sniff our asses, Chris the producer. Earn your money.
It'll be
earn
fun.
Your money, punk.
I'm quitting.
All right. Sorry.
It's we're getting Tyron Woodley on the phone. Thanks to Dean Thomas.
Dean Thomas.
I had to amount to something today. I had to bring something to the table.
Well, you brought a lot.
We got the champ coming on.
Yeah, we get the champ on.
You get the champ on the phone. You got your criminal ways. We found out about your criminal past. I'm trying to read Dean's handwriting.
Okay, we got him on the phone. Hello.
You jokers.
Oh, it's the champ.
What's up, my man?
How are you?
You know, it's funny as hell. I was skimming through my pictures.
Yeah.
And I found this picture by Photoshop Steve of Dana White and Matt Serra as babies.
Shit. Why are you bringing that up? Now people are going to ask you.
I'm looking at it right now. That's funny as hell. You just call.
And they're going to be like, could you tweet that, champ? Because we want to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I got to tweet that.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Right now I'm on a movie set.
What?
That's your TV show set. I'm working on a show called Night Shift on NBC. I'm hot as hell because I got like 7 layers of clothes. But other than that, you know, I'm good.
So what are you playing on Night Shift? What kind of, I don't know the show.
I'm a man, a hardworking man in the oil field.
Oh, Night Court. I thought that show was done.
It's not Night Court.
Oh, my bad.
That's not Darren and Nana. I know what you're talking about, though.
Hey, so I'm going on memory lane because I'm trying to sift through my pictures, and I see the one of you and Dana as a baby. Yeah. And I see this little lovey-dovey picture, you and Dean.
Me and Dean?
No way.
Yeah, like reunited, and it feels so good. And then the last and most funniest picture is it's a picture of me, Dean, and Eve Edwards, and I was the smallest out of the three.
Oh, what? When was that?
We know that was a long time ago.
I know. Tyron wasn't always as big as he is now.
Yeah?
Yeah, he used to be a little skinny dude. Not really skinny, but like he was always jacked, but like he didn't have like that, like the big muscle tone.
He was like a He-Man figure.
Yeah.
I didn't have that grown man fat on me because I used to stay lean and close to my weight, and I started training. When I started training at ATT, my first day there, the first time I ever sparred with a pro person, hey, Tyron, go with Thiago Alves. So I go with him. He's kicking me in my goddamn leg, my head, the back of my head, folk.
In your folk?
In my folk. And then when I finish with him, they say, hey, do some rounds with Dean. And you swing 100 punches and land one. So it wasn't a good day.
So he's not very accurate. Oh, no, you're saying that. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm attacking your buddy. It's a habit.
At that time, I wasn't very accurate, and Dean was not trying to get hit.
So being on the set, how many hours do you have to be there, and is it interfering with the training for Diaz?
Nice try, my man. Nice try.
He tried.
I have to be here 12 hours. Actually, today I had to be here longer. I wanted to spend more time at the crib. So I had to get fitted this morning. Otherwise, I would have been able to come in at 11. So I'll be here from 7 a.m. until 11 p.m. But no, it's not interfering with my training for my upcoming fight against my unknown opponent.
I'm sorry.
I'm in altitude, though, so I'm good.
Wait, now, speaking of that, about your fight, you know you're on the official UFC podcast. This is unfiltered. This is not no, horse and pony act. Is there a horse and pony? Is that
right? Dog and pony.
That's
show.
What I meant.
The dog and pony
dog
show.
And it's not that either.
Horse and pony act.
Yeah. Yes.
Horse and pony act podcast.
I don't know what the hell that means, but what I'm trying, I don't want to cut to the chase, but come on, we need breaking news. We need breaking news, champ. Tell us, who are you fighting? Who are you fighting?
I gotta say that for the Morning Wood Show with these nuts.
Ah, but you want people to actually hear it. I'm only kidding. Jam.
You tell them you're breaking news and they'll tune in. So
that's
me and
true.
Dean gotta get our numbers up. So we gotta say the thunder for when the big deal comes.
So listen, now that he's not fighting Michael Bisping and he's going to be fighting you, after the layoff with GSP, what do you think about the strategy?
Well, let me tell you the strategy for anybody I face. What they ask. To be honest and just to be quite frank, my most difficult opponents are behind me style-wise.
Ooh.
Wonderboy was a pain in the ass to train for, pain in the ass to fight.
Yeah.
Someone asked me, hey, man, what about the trilogy? I said, you don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch that. And that mother sucker will have to walk on water for me to pull up and fight him again. So he's going to have to go on a nice little win streak for that to happen again. So I'm really glad that I can get back to fighting a regular mother effer.
Yeah,
can you believe the fight analysis we got from Tyron Woodley and Mike Perry today? It was like, whoop they ass and hit him harder than he hits me.
Yeah.
And it's working for him, so I can't really argue that. So, all right. So the breaking news is you're on the new remake of Night Court. That's great. Thanks, for, champ. Thank you so much.
Sorry, man. I don't have nothing for a little bit more hot sauce on there for you.
All right.
But you're wearing warm clothes. You're dressed.
Yeah, I'm sweating right now.
All right, there you go. There's the clip.
I'm going to have to put that round two of the deodorant on.
All right, the champ is sweaty. Get that out there.
All right. Well, we got some news. I don't know how much breaking it is. But listen, so in other words, we do have your word that when you do announce it, it will be on this show.
You have my word that when I announce it, shortly after, I will give you guys a call.
Oh.
And I'll recap with you guys what we dropped on the Morning Wood Show.
Okay.
You have my word on that.
All right. Look how happy Dean Thomas is. Dean,
yes!
Is
yes!
Now, Tyron, are you a good actor? I've never seen you act before.
What?
I'm the best actor on the UFC's roster.
Sorry.
Oh.
You know?
Ooh.
Ooh. So, I mean...
I seen him act.
I don't know
before.
If they're saying a lot, but you know I can hold my own.
Do you take classes, or is it something you just kind of feel natural, comfortable doing?
Certain roles and parts I feel natural and comfortable. There are some roles that I would need some help. You know, the last movie I did is a movie called Office. Not the Office Uprising. I did The Favorite, which Dean was on as well. And Dean will test for me. I got all into that old ass man.
Yeah, he did a good job. He did. He was really into it.
You mean better than in what was that? Straight Outta Compton when he's like,
hey, yo
come on, yeah, come on, Cube. I think that's your long way.
Are you in Straight Outta Compton?
You didn't know that?
No.
I had a few more lines in this one, so I did well on that. But I did have to get a dialect coach. I played a Nigerian in the new Escape Plan 2 with Stallone, 50 Cent, Batista. So I had to actually get an acting. Sure. I guess he wasn't. He wanted to be an acting coach and got my ass yelled at by the director for doing too much. But he was a dialect coach.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, he told you to do too much. What did the director say to you? And the director yelled at you or just said, what did he say?
Oh, hell yeah. The director said, all right, man, come on now. You're doing way too much right now. Bring this shit all the way down. Bring it all the way down. I don't need all that. All I need you to do is this, this, and this. Got it? All right, let's go.
Is this a John Singleton movie?
I know.
Yeah, did he really? That doesn't sound like Scorsese. Who was that?
Yeah. He said you're doing way too much.
Well, with the voice or just your acting in general?
No, I mean, this is the thing. When I got there, I read the script, right? The script said I was in a sanctuary. So I'm thinking a church. So then the guy that I was working with for the dialect, he wanted to be an acting coach. So he was like, okay, you know, if who's in a church, you know, most Nigerians are Catholic. So he would do the touch on his head cross. He would open his hands up, hold his head back, nod his head. Man, I got my ass yelled at for all that.
Oh, no,
oh, man.
You're playing a holy man. He's like, no, you work for UPS. What are you doing?
Keep my line. And I did all the extra shit.
Who saw you get yelled at? Was Stallone there when it happened or 50 Cent?
No, they weren't there then. When they were there, I was on my best behavior.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you got to do scenes with them.
So it was an inside joke for the rest of the movie on how horribly I did that one bar. for you guys that are from the hip-hop culture, when you drop that one rap line, it's a bar. So my one bar was horrible, and they joked me for the rest of the movie about it.
Well, I didn't know you were in Straight Outta Compton. Now yeah. I got to watch that again.
He has that. He has that.
I mean, God forbid you watch a classic movie again.
I wouldn't mind. That's a good film.
That was a fun movie.
I did enjoy
it. Any damn ratings like it should have either. I was kind of mad about that.
What Straight Outta Compton? Didn't that get nominated?
It got great ratings, and it did a lot of sales in the box office, but it should have won an Oscar, and it didn't. So.
Was it nominated or no?
Was nominated for something, like score or something like that.
Yeah, it was nominated for won a lot of awards, but the main one we know was an Oscar. I just thought it was worthy of one.
What won that year? Do you remember for Best Picture? Best Picture is weird, man. They throw, like, Moonlit they gave it to this year. They do some really weird
things. I think Spotlight won that year.
Man. Right, but
I didn't see Moonlit, but I thought Hidden Figures, the same actor, was, you know, he was one of the supporting actors in that movie as well. I thought that movie was a good one.
I didn't see that. Moonlit was really... It was like a few years ago, I gave David the Crash, which is one of my favorite movies with Don Cheadle. Yeah. And Matt,
oh,
and
I love that movie.
That's old, though.
Chris, Don Cheadle, a couple...
That was years
Terrence
ago.
Terrence Howard. Like,
yeah, Terrence Howard. I thought that he was better in that than he was in... what was the movie he got... didn't he get nominated for something? It was the
Hustle and Flow.
Hustle and Flow where he played a pimp, MTV movie. I thought he was better as the director in Crash, and he should have got nominated for that.
Crash is like 20 years ago.
Nah, about 10 or 12.
Really?
That's one of my favorite films ever.
Why is that?
Yeah, that is a good film.
It's with Matt Dillon, right?
Yeah,
Matt Dillon was
Don
great.
Cheadle.
He's a racist, Matt
he
Dillon.
He got nominated, but I thought that Terrence Howard should have instead.
Not really Matt Dillon. In the movie I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Come on, Matt. You know better than to say racist. No, hey,
I got him started. All right, Chip.
Racist.
Thanks for calling in, Chip. No, I'm only kidding. I got him going.
Now?
Oh, man. I'm so happy you called in.
Yeah, it was good talking to you either way, and you're on a movie set, so you're doing something.
Yeah, you're
great.
Busy, and thanks for nothing. No, I'm only kidding. Tell us, who are you fighting? You have one more chance. One more chance, champ. The world wants to know. Chris, the producer, wants to know.
You know what? I'm going to just give this out to the world.
What's that? Wait, hold on. What is it?
It's a lot of fighters that say, I'll fight anybody, anytime, anywhere.
But you mean it?
They really don't mean that.
Right.
What?
They really don't mean that. If Conor McGregor wanted to fight me, he has an opportunity to do so. So does Bisping. So does George St. Pierre. So does Nick Diaz. So does Nate Diaz. All these guys got a chance to step up to the plate, but ain't nobody picked up the bat.
Man. Well, I mean, I don't know. Are they intimidating?
Nobody picked up the bat, so you're not training for one of those guys.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
Well, it could be Robbie Lawler, I guess. Who's
announced the fight, that means the contract is signed. So.
Oh, okay.
Well, nobody's picking up a bat. We found out your old buddy picks up a wrench and hits people. This is an amazing day. Now, what do you think, Jimmy? Why don't you ask him about this upcoming fight that we were talking about earlier?
What, Masvidal against Maia?
Yes!
What would you like me to ask him?
I want to ask... Well, why am I?
What do you think about it?
What do you think of it?
I think it's a great fight. Unfortunately, for Maia, I mean, he accepted the fight the week of me and Wonderboy's fight. In my personal opinion, bad move.
Ooh.
Waiting to see how the fight went. If nobody came out of the fight hurt, the clear winner, not another draw, you're already in position to fight for a world title. Why would you put yourself up against the worst possible matchup outside of a title fight? Why would you put yourself in that position? Gamebred is very tough to take down. He has great hand speed, great boxing. You know, for Maia to win this fight, he has to take him down. And not only does he have to take him down, he has to advance and potentially be forced to submit him. Now, if anybody's going to pull off a submission, we all know that Damian Maia has to be in the top four or five of the best grapplers that are currently signed to the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, he has a chance. Nobody's going to say he doesn't have a chance. But on paper, I don't know how he's going to get the fight to the ground.
Well, I mean... champ, he is a big, you know, he used to fight at middleweight and he strangled a lot of people there. And Masvidal's coming up. He used to fight at 55. So he's not a huge, even though he looked phenomenal.
I don't think the weight's going to have anything to do with it because it's going to be a timing and distance issue. So if Masvidal has the ability to use his hand speed and footwork to create, you know, combinations and get in and get out, then he won't have a chance to put that weight on him to grab him and to clinch him. You know, his best bet, in my opinion, is to lunge in on a single leg, pull half guard, and go to work.
It's very interesting. Listen, it's a very interesting fight.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much. I can't wait for it because, again, there's a lot of fighters that know that, know exactly. I mean, everybody knows exactly what Damian Maia wants to do.
That's right.
And not a lot of guys.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is, a lot of them guys accepted it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, really?
Or couldn't do nothing about it.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, Carlos Condit, like, but he can't wrestle, though. Carlos Condit can't wrestle.
Man. Carlos Condit was terrified of the grappling, and he fought that way. He backed up and fought uncharacteristically like he would fight, and he just basically absorbed the takedown. He let the takedown soak into his body like a nicotine patch.
Yeah,
if I fight him, he get knocked out.
Like Gunnar Nelson?
Takedown, and it'll sprawl to knock out.
Like, they accepted, though.
Well, Gunnar Nelson was trying to take away those takedowns.
But he was still kind of grappling with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was trying to prove something.
He can grapple with the grappler.
Hey, listen.
Only person that has success with that is Jake Shields.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He definitely showed that he can grapple and actually out MMA grapple Damian Maia.
Well, he's one of the best ever as far as how he transitions his jiu-jitsu into MMA.
No doubt about that.
Shuts guys down. I mean, he's really really an underrated fighter, Jake Shields.
Very underrated.
So you think he should have possibly waited before signing this contract and just seeing what happened? That's a very interesting point.
He should have. Why would he? They announced that the week of the fight. Like, I don't want to call him stupid, but damn, that was stupid.
It was stupid, yeah. Unless someone told him, he was definitely not next in line.
Yeah, and I don't feel bad for him. Like, everybody, what do you think? I'm like, hey, man, have you seen what I got to do to promote my goddamn old self? You think I'm going to sit here and feel sorry for somebody else? Like, I've been in so many number one, quote-unquote, number one contendership fights. There is no number one contendership fight. Fight hard, kick ass, talk it up. Be exciting, look good while you're doing it, and you'll find yourself in the title fight. Like, don't get caught up on, oh, he's beat this guy, that guy, that guy, because if that was the case, why did he ever have to fight Masvidal anyway?
Right.
Well, maybe we'll have him on here eventually, Maia. Yeah. I'd like to have him on here and see what's up.
He's going to be too congratulatory. Oh, thank you so much. I really pray and wish that the winner of Tyron and Stephen Thompson would please and hopefully and thankfully and graciously offer me the opportunity. That's why you're fighting Masvidal.
You're saying that nice guy stuff doesn't work.
You say nice guys finish last.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Absolutely. All right, they're yelling at Tyron to get back to the set. I hear talking in the back. Everyone's waiting for him right now. He's just on the phone.
With his seven layers of clothing on.
All right, champ. Well, it's good talking to you.
You can take off 12 of them layers and still have on 10.
It's true. All right, champ. Thanks for hanging out with us a little bit.
No worries, guys. You guys be good. Stay out of trouble. Dean, make sure you forget their podcast. Plug our podcast on the show.
Yeah, that's true. I already gave a plug. They yelled at me for it.
Well, he just forced it. He came in. We're like, hi, Dean. He's like, yo, I'm more than wood. We're like, hey, calm down, Dean. Calm down.
Dean, it's like we can't cut it out.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for having me on. You guys be good. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, Tyron. Take care.
Take care, champ. All right, he's fun, man.
Yeah, that's funny. Get yelled at by the director. That's one of those things where you don't like. You know, you don't ever want to get yelled at by the director.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
But he doesn't seem. But it is embarrassing. But he doesn't seem fazed by it.
No, you know what about him is like he's not. He's never fazed by like you know what people think about him. Really, at the end of the day, like if he gets yelled at or somebody doesn't like him, like you know, it might a little bit, but he gets past it real fast.
I guess there's a certain thing that you guys have when you know you can rip anybody's head off on the set. It's just got to be a comfortable feeling. Yeah. It's got to be a nice way to live.
Now, what do you mean by you guys with him and Tyron?
I don't know. You and yeah. you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you got me thinking of you got the whole race.
The whole race thing going on.
I'm thinking about you guys in the room.
You guys.
Just me being an asshole. I'm very secure myself.
There's a different energy you have when you know, like when there's that element is gone. Like this guy does know I could fucking rip him in half.
You know what? No, I don't think so. No, really? Well, for me, not. It's not like that. No, because I remember when I was young, I used to always feel like, man, how would it feel to be able to beat everybody up everywhere you go?
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's like people got guns.
Yeah.
So now it's like that's what I'm worried about
now.
The
director doesn't.
Yeah. That's right.
So every once in a while, I guess you're right. I could flex my muscle every once in a while.
You should try to avoid it at all costs. I find. I mean, listen, man, I don't want to be like some people in the room that are going away for 52 weeks at weekends. I got kids.
I love that he did that. My favorite
hit
thing
a person
about
with a wrench,
and then married the girl. It works.
Yeah, he did marry her. I'll tell you right now.
I had to count for something.
Yeah.
I got my money's worth. I got my weekend's worth.
Don't ever give that message in high school. That's the wrong message. I got the girl.
You got a kid out of the deal.
Yeah, I got a kid out of the deal. So yeah, it works.
I can't picture you that angry. You're such a nice guy.
I know. What I was 17. I was 18 years old.
Do you know one time on the on the underground forum, Dean Thomas was arguing with one of my students after all. We had some bad blood back in the day. And he says, yeah, Matt Serra, I got a, my middle knuckle's got a bullet on it. What did you say?
I don't even remember.
I remember the shit.
It was some lame, corny joke that I made up a long time ago.
I don't know. Yeah. All I know is Jimmy's yawning.
No, but that's okay. I get up early and I have sleep apnea.
I feel when I came in today, I was like
happy?
A cannon, and I felt that.
I'll say you are.
I felt that I was a little too hype for you.
No, you aren't. You were great.
Okay.
And it was fun talking to Tyron Woodley unexpectedly. And Mike Perry also really fun to talk to. I love a guy who is talkative. It helps.
Yeah.
Well, not since Jimmy didn't do it, I'm going to say that I'm happy that Dean also added a lot into the show. I'm only kidding, Jimmy.
You were going to add it too. Listen, he would be a great, if we could have one third guy in studio. Well, I know Chris the producer's here, but I'm saying like a third guy on mic, I would push for Bob Kelly. But after Bob Kelly, I would, I really like Dean Thomas.
Well, we get along. Me and you, we get along.
You and Jimmy got some
Me and Jimmy get along underneath. Sure. No, me and Jimmy get along too. But I mean, me and you, Matt, we get along.
I get along with you. I mean, we break bread.
Yeah.
Together
and balls. We break balls.
I've never broken bread with you. I've eaten with Matt quite a few.
Yeah,
time.
We don't.
No, we ate that one time. Remember in Vegas.
Me, the three of us. Oh, it was the three of us.
And you had a salad. I was like, "What are you doing?"
Remember, I almost got beaten up by CM Punk.
Yeah, CM Punk tackled you.
I took a picture right after.
That was his first and only takedown ever. Actually,
that's fucked up. You might be his next opponent, Jimmy.
John Jones got mad at me when I did because Fedor. We interviewed Fedor one time, and he. I was asking him to show me an armbar, and he was like kept doing it. It was very funny, and he was maybe hurting me. So John was in, and Fedor had just gotten beaten up, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm technically his last victory." He goes, "Oh,
who said that?"
John Jones.
Oh, you didn't like your joke?
No.
You should smack that motherfucker around.
I should. Well, he knew about it. He wouldn't do it again.
Well, I like having Dean in studio. Dean, I know you wanted to plug something since you got here.
No, man, I already plugged it.
Plugged what?
The Morning Wood Show.
What is that again?
When do you guys tape?
When do we tape?
We haven't taped in like 6 months. That's
so what the fuck are you promoting?
I don't know, man.
How is it a podcast that's not being taped a lot?
I know, but we're getting back on it. And me and Tyron are getting back on it.
Podcast is consistency.
Yeah. I know, that's what I think too.
You're sitting there plugging it. You gotta show up.
You can listen to the old episodes.
No, I'm just told.
We're getting back on it. We're going to be back more with consistency. It's key, man. I see how much fun you guys have. I want to have this type of fun too in my life.
It's amazing. I love it.
I have such a good time with Jimmy. But really quick, I want to ask you, but you're getting back into the stand-up. Can I just say one thing? And I mean this from the bottom of my heart.
Go ahead.
Dude, fuck improv.
No, man, listen.
Fuck your improv.
No, listen, I do it. No.
It's all. Everybody, I'm a chair now. Oh, fuck you.
No, man, listen. It all goes hand in hand, Matt.
All right. I just wanted to.
I'm doing a lot too, man. I'm acting and everything too, man. I'm trying to learn how to act too. I'm in two plays right now.
I'm a plant.
Yeah, so.
What plays are you in?
I'm in a play called Miss Margarita's Way, and then another one called Hands Up. It's a black play. So you probably don't want to see it.
I would love to see it.
Wait, you're in a play? I didn't even know you were doing that.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm trying to work on everything, man. I have to be versatile. I'm trying to be a versatile human being.
Shit.
Hey, man. So the improv is good, improv is great. Bad improv is unwatchable.
Yeah, trust me. I've done both.
It's hard.
But Jimmy, can I ask you, is the good improv, my wife used to watch that show, like Whose Line Is It anyway?
No, is that good improv?
I've
seen Amy Poehler do it at UCB, and she's the best I've ever seen. Because she's just genuinely funny, and you're watching her, and you're like, what a smart, fucking great way to go on. Like, you know, when you watch someone who really knows how to do it, go on a funny angle, and make it alive, you understand what you're watching.
I totally, I'm trying to be open-minded.
Yeah.
Already getting nauseous thinking about watching improv.
I don't love it, to be honest. I don't love it.
This guy gets on there with five other people and just act. What are they doing? What are you doing?
What improv scene did
go
you
ahead,
blow?
Go ahead, do something
there
now.
There had to be one you screwed up.
Oh, I've blown a lot.
Which is one you totally destroyed?
Totally destroyed? All right, so here, there was a time where I was in Miami with my kid. Now, first off, like, not most people are like you guys. They don't like improv a lot. A lot of people don't. Yeah. So it might have been maybe 10 people in the crowd. Okay. Actually. Yeah. So and I took my kid down there to see us. We were in Miami.
There's more people on stage.
But go ahead. It was three of us on stage. Right. And we were doing a scene about three bums living under a bridge. And when I tell you it was so bad, after the show was over, my kid looked at me and goes, "You guys were horrible."
That is so. Oh my goodness!
How old is your kid?
He was like 8 at the time, and I was like, "Yeah, it was."
Was
terrible.
It getting laughs?
No, nobody was laughing. Nobody was laughing.
I don't know. I don't understand.
What's that?
What was one of your lines that bombed?
I don't even remember.
Come on, Dean.
It was a couple years ago.
What? I'm cold and hungry. You're under a bridge.
Yeah, you don't remember the stuff that you do in improv. It's one and done.
Do you remember the feeling of like, oh, this is bombing?
Yeah, I remember like, I remember thinking like, man, we got to be up here for another 20 minutes.
Did you do another scene?
It was a bunch of them, but I just remember that one vividly, like, oh my God. How do we get out of this?
And you haven't done the stand-up too much, so you haven't really bombed yet at that.
Yeah, nice. I haven't fully bombed. Like one set was not
as
great,
strong.
Yeah, not as strong.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's coming. Huh?
Not for me. Yeah, it ain't. Sure, I was one and done with that shit.
It'll be fine.
I love it.
It's a
But I want to start hitting the circuit. Yeah, like I said, as soon as I get done with these plays, I'm gonna start hitting the circuit and just go through, take my lickings like a champ.
Well, I need you for the show though. Don't jump off Dana White looking for a fight.
No, I'm not jumping off that.
People can find that on YouTube, Dean Thomas. Yeah. What are you on Instagram and Twitter?
Dean Thomas, D-I-N Thomas, all the same.
Don't gotta fucking yell at me.
No, I'm not yelling at. I ain't yelling at you, Matt Sarah.
Go get some pizza with me after this. I want
to
start.
I can't, man. I have to go to the airport, man. I have to catch a flight.
What are you doing?
I'm going back to Florida. West Palm Beach.
All right. We'll be back a couple days, and we'll see who's on. We have Cody on?
Yeah, Cody's supposed to be on Wednesday.
Cody Garbrandt. That's
no
nice.
No plugs for you? No plugs?
Oh, you know what? You can catch me. I'm going to be in, coming up at the end of May, I'm going to be in Oslo, Norway, Amsterdam, Denmark, Antwerp, Belgium, goodness. And one more place I can't remember. I always forget one.
Did you say Stockholm, Sweden?
I did not. And then I have the Borgata August 5th, and the Chip Chipperson podcast is utter idiocy. Very popular, though.
I'm hearing the thing is Chip out Chipperson? Of control.
It's a stupid character.
Don't ask him to show up.
That's the name? That's your character, Chip Chipperson?
You're going to say, not to quote you, but you'd say, yo, this is mad awkward.
It's awkward.
I don't know if you use the word mad.
No. I use the word mad.
It's mad awkward.
It's very embarrassing.
He does it here. He comes on, he puts a thing in front of his face, and he gets all pricky on me. So it's making fun of me and
I want
shit.
You to come on the podcast.
I don't think I want to be friends with Chip. I like Jimmy. I don't like this Chip
character. How long is the show?
It was supposed to be a 15-minute podcast, but it goes about 30 minutes. We did say one with Colin Quinn was like 35 minutes.
He's totally,
minutes.
And he doesn't leave character. It's
no.
One of those
oh, really?
Things.
I wear a wig when I do it. Like, it's fun.
So you really have to get into it.
It's very easy.
That's improv.
Yeah, it is, and he's unfunny.
Really?
It's the greatest joy I've ever had.
100% it's not improv.
It's fucking, no, it's all improv. None of his friend.
No, but improv, I mean like the thing that he's doing.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
In other words, it's not shit. Dean, I'm so happy you came in. The great Dean Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, the great Dean Thomas. We were so happy. You really gotta get that shit on cue. You're gonna have to click a little quicker, right, buddy.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Anticipate.
All right, I got nothing to plug. If you want to take some limbs on Long Island, you want to defend yourself from getting attacked, sarahbjj.com. I love it. I got my Kimuras in today. Good. So I'm happy. Other than that, Dana White looking for a fight.
See you Thursday.
On YouTube. Yes, we're out of here, everybody.
Peace.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD Streaming Audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.